This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وصحبه أجمعين وبعد اسم الله الرقيب اسم الله الرقيب The All Observant سبحانه وتعالى The category that this name exists within are attributes of accountability. And within that category, there are a number of names. And I chose al-Raqib out of them. So accountability. We're going to talk about al-Raqib, and tomorrow we'll talk about another one as well. Al-Muhsi, Sami' al-Basir, all of these names, their effect on us is that these are the names through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us accountable on the Day of Judgment. Ismullah al-Raqib, this name is better than 100 laws, than 1,000 law enforcers. This is the name that repairs both the individual and the community. There is no real value to laws or regulations or rules or law enforcement if the concept of Ismullah al-Raqib does not exist inside the hearts and the minds of people. The human being has an exquisite talent in finding his way around laws, around rules. The human being has found a way to break every law and every rule, found loopholes in every regulation that others have made. But when Ismullah al-Raqib exists in the hearts and minds of people, that is how you get individuals and communities to actually follow regulations and laws. So in the Quran three times. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuhan nas, uttaqu rabbakum, alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahidah, wa khalaqa minha zawjaha, وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا This very famous ayah at the beginning of Surah An-Nisa that is often quoted on the Manabir. O people, be mindful of your Lord who created you yet from one soul. And from that soul he created his spouse. And from the two of them, He brought forward, subhanahu wa ta'ala, many men and many women. Be mindful of Allah and take care of your relatives. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all observant upon you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to Isa alayhi salam on the Day of Judgment, when he says, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ O Isa ibn Maryam, did you tell people to take yourself and your mother as gods aside from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أَقُولَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِحَقٍّ He said, you are exalted. I don't have the right to say anything that you did not tell me to say. That I do not have the right to say. إِن كُنْتُ قُلْتُهُ فَقَدْ عَلِمْتَهُ تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكَ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ If I said it, then you know it. You know what exists inside of me, and I don't know what's in you. You're the one who knows all that which is unseen. مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَمَرْتَنِي بِهِ أَنْ اِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ I only told them what you told me to tell them, which is serve your Lord, my Lord and yours. فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي When you took me to you, kunta anta al-raqiba alayhim. You're the one who continued to observe what they did. Wa anta ala kulli shay'in shaheed. And you're the witness to everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. And he is with you wherever you are. Wherever you may be, whatever it is you're doing, he is with you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. This concept of raqaba, of something or someone continuously watching over you, in Islam is extremely important. It's one of the core concepts through which we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His knowledge subhanahu wa ta'ala is something we're going to talk about separately. Today, The point is that there is someone who is observing and watching over you. That you're never truly, fully alone. There's always someone there. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ Wherever you are, أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ The concept of the 80-20%, we're all like icebergs or mountains. What's observable to people, what's apparent, is just the 20% above land. That's what people see of you. That's what you allow them to see. And then the rest of you is that 80% that's underground, that's underwater, that people don't see, they don't know anything about. And Ismullah al-Raqib allows you to care for that 80% that no one sees. The 80% that is not knowledge, that is not something that people have access to. It's making sure that you take care of it. Because the hadith that Sayyidina Thawban radiallahu anhu narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, this hadith is in the collection of Imam Majah, Ibn Majah, and it has an authentic chain of narration, where he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ajma'in, يأتي يوم القيامة أقوام من أمتي لهم حسنات كجبال تهامة بيضة. He says, on the day of judgment, people from my nation will come and they have حسنات that are as big as a جبال تهامة, which is a series of mountains, connected mountains. And that's how much حسنات they have. يجعلها الله لهم هباء منثورا. It is turned into nothing. It is turned into worthless fluff. So Thawban, as any of you or myself would be quite afraid and surprised by this, قال يا رسول الله حلهم لنا صفهم لنا لا نكون منهم. يا رسول الله, explain who are these people. يعني, detail them for us so that we don't end up amongst them. فقال ألا إنهم منكم ومن جلدتكم ويأخذون من الليل كما تأخذون. He said, indeed they are amongst you and they are from you. And they take from the night as you do. What he means by that is that they pray at night. You know, they have. ولكنهم قوم كلما خلو بمحارم الله انتهكوها. But they are people that every time they find themselves alone with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made haram, they do it. They perform the haram. They are people every time the only eye that is watching upon them is the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they fall into haram. One of the earliest verses in the Quran, the earliest surahs that were revealed to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, Surah Al-Alaq, he says in the midst of it, subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. This person who's behaving in such and such way, did this person not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all? That he wasn't aware that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى, that he's watching wherever you may be, he's seeing you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab would come one day on a journey, and you know, he's traveling, and he'd come by a young shepherd, 10, 12 years old. So Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab tried him out. He just, you know, in the spirit of testing, you know, commonly men will test the young men to see what they're made of. So he asks him for milk. So he says, I can't give you anything. I have no permission from the owner. I can't give you anything. So he offers him money. He said, I was not permissed. Yeah, he take money. He said, well, give us one of the sheep and we'll pay you for it. I can't do that either. So he give us one of the sheep and tell your tell the owner that it got lost or that the wolf ate it. فَإِنَّ صَاحِبَهَا لَا يَرَاكَ. Because indeed, the owner of these sheep, he can't see you. فَقَالَ الْغُلَامُ فَأَيْنَ اللَّهُ. Well, where is Allah then? قَالَ فَانْتَفَضَ عُمَرُ رضي الله عنه. Sayyidina al-Khattab, this moved him. فَقَامَ رضي الله عنه يَقُولُ فَأَيْنَ اللَّهُ. So he got up, Sayyidina al-Khattab, قَالَ أَيْنَ اللَّهُ, where is Allah? وَانْصَرَفَ يَقُولُ أَيْنَ اللَّهُ, where is Allah? ثم أمر للغلام بعطاء. And then he gave this young shepherd a gift of wealth. قلوا فأين الله. This is the question. Where is Allah? Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab, he lived like this. He was worried. He was worried that he wouldn't that if he didn't do his job as Amir al-Mu'mineen appropriately, that at any point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would hold him accountable for the smallest detail that people wouldn't even notice. He would walk رضي الله عنه within the the neighborhoods of Medina, or the cities that he would go and visit at night to see how people are behaving and to keep his hand on the pulse of his nation. So he's walking, radiallahu anhu, at night, and he hears over, this is like before Fajr, he hears beyond the wall two ladies speaking. One is telling the other, add water. He's saying, add water. فَقَالَتْ لَا يَنْبَغِي. The other one said, no, it's not appropriate. فَقَالَتْ أَضِيفِي إِلَى اللَّبَنِ الْمَاءِ. Add to the milk a little bit of water. فَقَالَتْ إِنَّ عُمَرْ قَدْ نَهَى عَنْ هَذَا. The Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Khalifa, said, we should, he was very clear on this one. Do not add water to milk. It's haram. Don't do that. Don't add water and then sell it to make a little bit more. فَقَالَتْ. The other lady said, بُنَيَّ أَيْنَ عُمَرْ مِنَّا. Oh my daughter, where is Umar to hold you accountable? فقالت, the other lady, إن كان عمر لا يرانا فإن رب عمر يرانا. If Umar can't see us right now, well, the Lord of Umar can see us. يقول فعاد عمر إلى بيتي. سيدنا عمر الخطاب, he heard this conversation, he goes back to his house. فقال إن في البيت الفلاني امرأة, there is a young lady in this house. إن لم يتزوجها أحد منكم تزوجتها أنا. If none of you are willing, he's talking to his sons, are willing to go and marry her, then I'm going to marry her myself. قَالَ فَتَزَوَّجَهَا عَاصِمْ. His son عَاصِمْ married her. فَكَانَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِهِمَا. From عَاصِمْ ibn Umar ibn Khattab. And this lady came, Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the known Khalifa. The barakah of someone who has raqaba. Muraqaba is a word, raqib is Allah's name. Muraqaba is one of the known tools within tazkiyah, one of the most famous of all tools within the science of tazkiyah, or the discipline of tazkiyah, where you watch yourself, you observe yourself, you're not waiting for others to observe you and give you feedback on your behavior and hold you accountable and remind you of things. You're watching yourself, you're observing how your heart is behaving, what thoughts you're allowing, what feelings and what hopes and what dreams and what fears and what accusations and what gossip and what bad assumptions and good assumptions. You're watching yourself. You're not waiting for someone else to do it for you. The barakah in that is unparalleled in this world. And if you find someone who has that inside of them, then that's more worthy than anything else. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَسِرُّوا قَوْلَكُمْ أَوِجَهَرُوا بِهِ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Speak quietly. Use your words and speak your words secretively. أَوِجَهَرُوا بِهِ, or speak them openly. It makes no difference. He knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala, all that which you're saying. He's observing whether you speak it quietly or. وَإِن تَجَهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. If you speak loudly, or you don't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the secret and that which is more secretive than the secret. Not only does he know your secret, subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he knows a layer that goes beyond the secret. Understands the motive behind it. He knows the basic idea that started it and what gain you're hoping to get out of this thing that you're holding on to yourself and not letting anyone else know about. Where are you going to go? There's nowhere to go. مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ وَلَا أَدْنَى مِن ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرَ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا. There is no small group of three that are consulting secretively, except he is the fourth amongst them. Nor is there four, except he is the sixth amongst them. Nor if there's less a group that are smaller than three, or a group that is more than that, except he is with them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever they go. Wherever they may be, he is watching, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a raqib. When Sayyidina Ali Zain al-Abidin radiallahu anhu alayhi salam passed away, when they were washing his body, they would find these marks on his back. These very peculiar looking marks. You could see there was discoloration in certain parts of his back that was unexplained. So they asked, during the uprising of Sayyidina al-Husayn alayhi salam, was he lashed? Was he caught? Was he? And no. And the wife said, "I don't know. I never actually noticed it until you talked about it. But I don't. He wasn't. He was never lashed by any ruler, and he didn't have like a disease or anything. So they couldn't understand what these marks on his back were. ودفنوه. And he was وصلوا عليه, and they buried him and they prayed their janazah upon him, and that was the end of it. It was only a week or two later when the number of needy people started to rise, and people started standing on the doors of his sultan and the doors of other people asking for provision, asking where their weekly provision was, why wasn't being delivered to them. And they had to ask, what weekly provision are you speaking of that was not being delivered to you? And they explained, no, we've been getting weekly amounts of wheat and barley and dates and whatnot, and this is our... And it took them a couple of months to patch it all together. Sayyidina Ali Zain al-Abidin, every week, in the midst of the night, without his wife even knowing, he would go and he would mix bags of wheat and barley and dates and whatnot and carry them on his back and take them to the homes of people who were in need and leave that at their doorsteps right before Fajr. And he would do this all throughout his life without anyone knowing about it. The only way it was known is the marks that they could not understand on his back and the emergence of all of these people who were used to getting their weekly provision and weren't getting it anymore. This is someone who understands Allah al-Raqib, someone who is watching. You don't need anyone else to be witness of what you're doing. The one who is witnessing it is witnessing it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed the story of this gentleman so that we could just tell it. He passed away, he passed away and he got what he wanted, where he lived and died and no one knew what he did. So he can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that gem of sincerity in what he did. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed it for you and I so that we can tell this story, so maybe we learn something for it. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, before he died, and the shura, Majlis al-Shura, chose Sayyidina Umar, some people came to him and said, "Inna Umar la-Shadid." Umar is a very difficult person to deal with. "Are you sure this is someone that should be taking on this role after you?" فَقَالَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, this is what he said, فَقَالَ ذَاكَ رَجُلٌ سِرُّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَلَانِيَتِهِ. That's a man, his sir, what he keeps to himself, what's between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no one sees, is better than what you see of him. His sir is, most people, what I see of you, this is the best version. This is the best version of me. Yeah, you're not going to get anything better than this. Anything else, you don't want to know anything else. This is, know this, be happy with this, as I am happy with what I'm seeing ahead of me. Sayyidina Abu Bakr says, I testify that Sayyidina Umar, what he hides, what people do not know about him, is better than what people do know about him. And that's why he is the right person to take this on. There are different levels of raqaba. There are different levels of observation, being watched. The first one, and the one that is most simple, the one that is most apparent, is the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching upon us. The level under that is the level of the malaika. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. The human being will not say a word except upon him is a raqibun atid, a prepared observant. It's not two raqibun atid, it's not raqib and atid. I know that's what they tell you. It's just one concept. Raqibun atid, someone who is prepared to continue to observe you. There's a young man who came to a scholar. فَقَالَ يَا إِمَامُ فُلَانُ. The story is told on the authority of more than one scholar, so I'm just going to say scholar generically, so that if you read it and it's a different scholar than I'm telling you, you don't... this is just so I get less objections later on in my life. This story is told upon the authority of more than one scholar. So he came to them and he said, "Ya Imam Fulan, إِذَا لِي بِالزِّنَا or إِذَا لِي بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ, allow me to perform a ma'asiyah." فَقَالَ نَعْمْ, yes, no problem. Which was, I would say, a little bit surprising to the young person. قَالَ نَعْمْ, ولكن بشروط, I just have a few conditions for you. إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَعْصِيَهُ فَلَا تَعْصِهِ عَلَى أَرْضِهِ. So if you want to perform a ma'asiyah, if you want to disobey him, then just don't do it on his land. Find a place where it's... فَقَالَ يَا إِمَامُ وَكَيْفَ وَأَرْضُ كُلُّهَا لِلَّهِ. What are you talking about? In all earth, is everywhere is belong to. فَقَالَ فَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ, if you can't do that, فَعْصِهِ فِي مَكَانٍ لَا يَرَاكَ فِيهِ, then just go and do this in a place he can't see you, because it's rude. It's not appropriate that he's watching you as you perform this ma'asiyah. So do it in a place he can't see you. فَقَالَ يَا إِمَامُ وَهَلْ يَهْرُبُ أَحَدٌ مِنْ عَيْنِ اللَّهِ who has the ability to run away from the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَعْصِهِ وَأَنْتَ لَا تَأْكُلُ مِنْ رِزْقِهِ. Then if you're going to do it, then do it and don't eat his provision, because yani, you can't take his gift and then go ahead and disobey. It's rude. فَقَالَ وَمَنْ يَأْكُلُ إِلَّا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ. And who can eat anything aside from his provision? فَقَالَ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَمُرْ مَلَكَ الشِّمَالِ أَلَّا يُكْتُبَهَا. And if you're going, then go ahead and do it. Just tell the left malak, the raqib, not to write it down and not to document it, so that you don't end up having to pay for it. فَقَالَ يَا إِمَامُ أَتَسْخَرُ مِنِّي. Said, oh Imam, are you making fun of me? فَقَالَ أَنْتَ سَخِرْتَ مِنْ نَفْسِكَ. You're making fun of yourself. You have mocked yourself. You know, I'm not mocking you. Mocked yourself. If you can't disobey him, subhanahu, if you're going to disobey him and you're going to be on his land eating his rizq as he watches you, and there's going to be documented and brought back for you yawm al-qiyamah, why would you do it? Are you insane? The second level of raqabah is that there's a malak with you at all times. And he's watching. I'm pretty sure he's judging us as well. I would if I were in his position. But his job is just to write it down, just to document what you did, the good and the bad. The third level of raqabah, or observation, or watching, is your conscience. بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. Indeed, the human being has upon himself true insight. وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. And I swear by the nafs, اللوامة, the soul that holds itself accountable, that continues to blame itself for the mistakes that it performs. That conscience that you have on the inside, it knows what's right and wrong. 90% of the questions I get in this world or in my lifetime are questions that I did not need to be asked. The person knows the answer to the question. He knows what the right thing here to do is. You just don't want to do it, because it's a little bit more taxing than maybe if I tell you can do the other thing, if there's permissibility for it. But deep inside, you know what the right thing is. You know if this is appropriate or not appropriate. 90% of the time, try yourself. Before you look something up or Google something, and before you ask a question, just take it just for your own self. Just learn something about yourself. Just pause and ask, do I know the answer to this question? Do I not? 90% of the time, you're like, yeah, I know what this is. I shouldn't be doing this. Most of the time, when you're compelled to look it up, usually it means you not the right choice. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابَ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ يَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And the book is established in its foot on the Day of Judgment. So you see, the people who broke his laws, subhanahu wa ta'ala, are extremely afraid from what's in it. And then when they read it, they say, what's wrong with this book? Why is not leaving anything that is big or small, except it's documenting it? Even the stuff that we didn't think was worthy of documentation. Why is this here? It was just a moment of time. It was harmless. It was just a smirk. It was just a smile. It was just this. It was just everything. Even the smile. مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. What's wrong with this book? What is this? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً. Doesn't leave a small thing or a big thing except it writes. And they found everything, absolutely everything that they did present right there. And your Lord will not mistreat or treat with injustice anyone. أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept track of all of it. And they forgot. Because he subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-raqib. How do you live with this name? It's very simple. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all the sins. Specifically the ones that no one was present when you performed them except him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Start by repenting and do this in Ramadan. Start by repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and performing tawbah from all of the sins that you performed when no one else was watching, except from Allah, because those sins specifically are heinous. Because you're telling him, if it's just you watching, then it's fine. I'll do whatever I want. But if people are watching, the people, those who don't really have any impact on my akhirah, really. Those who are just as lost as I am. Those who are floating in the sea, just holding on, trying to survive. No, I'll fix, I'll get myself, I'll put myself together. But if it's just your blessed eye watching me, then I'll do whatever I want. Perform repentance from that. Because there's a certain degree of disrespect there that is inappropriate for the heart of a Muslim. So repent from that. The third one, work on your unseen. Work on a secret. اجعل بينك وبين الله سرا لا يعرفه أحد. This is a piece of advice I was given by one of my teachers, yani maybe 20 plus years ago, that I think is probably one of the most valuable things I've ever been told. Make a secret between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no one knows, that no one will ever know. Something that's just between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one will ever find out, and put in the effort to make sure that no one ever finds out. Do what Ali Zayn al-Abidin did. Make sure that no one has any clue that you did this, and live and die like that. And make sure that you take this with you. And try to make sure that 80% is a bit better than, or equal, if not better, to the 20% that you're putting forward. And take care of the sirr of yourself as you take care of the appearance of yourself. I hope that was a benefit to you. سبحانك الله وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين جزاكم الله